we want to do is to focus on the noun some more, and we need to accumulate, do it in a cumulative way. And part of that will take place. In other words, we'll have to work on letters, because you can't have verbs without letters. You can't have nouns without letters. So we'll continue to work on the letters and accents, but I'm going to let those things kind of take care of themselves. And we're going to focus on the forms of the verbs and the nouns. Now, we've already dealt with the verbs a good bit, but just introductory. And most everyone has a book or access to a book where you can look on somebody, right? We've got tonight, and we have scheduled one more in this 6 weeks. This 6 weeks of classes, and one more would be six. So, what I want to do is spend a little time tonight reviewing the verb. Then I'm going to review that second declension, and then I want to introduce the first declension nouns tonight. So let's work on the verbs there for a few moments on page 20 of your book. And the simplest one, present active indicative. All right, the present means that's the tense, right? Okay. The active is the voice, having to do with whether the subject is doing the acting or if the subject is being acted upon. You understand what I mean? All right, and the indicative has to do with the nature of the statement that's being made. So now in the verbs here, we need to work and learn what those mean. A good way to do that is to just block off the right column in the English and, you know, practice saying. Make sure you know them. In fact, why don't you just see if you know these without looking? See if you know these. You just look up. Blepo.
I see.
Luo.
I see.
Okay, either one. Ginosko.
I know.
Grafo.
Right.
Didasco.
I teach.
Lombano.
I take.
And Echo.
I have.
Okay, what about Lego?
I
may have repeated one that won't hurt. All right, now then, the endings. We need the endings. The endings, same for all of them. Put the stem on the ending. You have three endings for the singular and three endings for the plural. So the endings are O-S-A, Amen, Edi, Usi. Now, you got that? All right, now let's take Lu and do it. All right, who wants to do one for me? Take a verb, Lu, and put the endings on it. Okay?
Luo, Luis, Lui, Luamen, Luite, and Luusi.
That's right. Very good. Alright, now let's try Graf, the right, idea of writing. Alright, now somebody do that one. Alright, let's go. Alright?
Grafo, Grafes, Grafe, Grafamen, Grafite, Grafusi.
Excellent. Alright, let's try Ik. The stem for I have, or for have, ek. Okay, who wants to do it? Jeff, you want to try that one?
Echo, ekes, eke, ekomen, ekete, ekusi.
That's right. Very good. All right, so you need to keep working on those and make sure that you have the endings down where you can, I mean, no problem at all. Okay? Now let's go and look at the nouns, page 23. We'll look at those nouns and remind ourselves of them. Here are the nouns. Autophos. Notice the stress that I'm putting on. I'm showing you the syllable stress. Autophos. Anthropos. Apostolos. Doulos. Doran. Thanatos. Hieron. Kai. Logos. Nomos, oikos, weos. All right, now in the nouns, and there's another thought that's just come to my mind. Be very cautious and careful how you use the Greek at this point, because you're just barely beginning in this. And it's better not to rely very much on Greek until you get more conversant with it. But as you do get more conversant with it, it is very important to use the right term. Because if you don't use the right term, then you will discredit your reference. One time, I was dealing with this lady. She was a very bright young lady. And she was a little bit behind where I was at the time in computers. And, of course, I'm not very far in computers now. But I did know a few things. And she was a beginner. I mean, absolutely. So they had just gotten a computer. New computer. Their first computer. So we were walking across the lot, parking lot, and she was just sharing with me the information. And she was telling me that about how much memory the computer had, and she told, and I forget what figure she used, but it was megahertz of memory. Well, you know, I said, I did inside, I sort of said, so, but that kind of thing is very important. Now, that's one reason why I have emphasized. For example, tell me what inflection is. Tell me what inflection is.
Change to the word to show you what role it plays in the sentence.
Okay. And see, that was a generic. Well, that's true. With inflection, that's what you got to do. Now, when you talk about inflection in a verb, what do you call it specifically?
Conjugation.
In nouns, what do you call the inflection?
The declension.
All right. That's great. That's real good. And case has to do with the various forms within a declension. So you have a declension, and in the declension you have the alterations to the noun, depending on how it is used in the sentence, to show how it is to be used. And so, you know, there are two sides to that thing. If you're writing Greek, then you have to know that to be able to use the word. If you're reading Greek, you have to know that to be able to determine how the word is used. So, I have tried to help some people that are real musical with this, to help them to see that really it's just like reading musical notations. It's just like when you're reading a song and you're seeing the notes and the sharps and the flats and whatever, you're interpreting those. And if you're actually singing the song, you're doing it on the fly. And so you've got to learn to be able to do that with these words. And that's why these endings are so important. And the cases are the individual forms. That's what we call it. Having to do, this is the way that the word is used. A particular way, like the nominative case. The nominative case, the genitive, the dative, the accusative, the vocative. Those are the five cases that you will generally see in your Greek books. Now there are actually more cases so far as use is concerned, but not as far as form is concerned. In other words, you might talk about the nominative, the genitive, the ablative, the dative, the instrumental, the locative, the vocative, and the accusative, and all that stuff, but you're only going to have five forms in the singular. Nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, and vocative. Those others are uses of a case, but they're not going to have a different form. Now, do you know what I mean by that? So you might be looking at a form like the dative form. And that dative form could have the sense of in something or by something or for something. So you have to be aware of that. But we have five different forms. Actually, there are five in both of them. But let me show you what I'm talking about. See, look on page 24. On page 24, in both the singular and the plural, you've got technically nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, and vocative. But in the plural, do you see that the nominative and the vocative are the same form? So you actually have only four different forms in the plural. Okay, do you see what I'm saying now? I tell you what, Greg, are you having a problem with the reference? There's your book key.
It's the same here.
Okay, it's the same. Okay, just wanted to be sure. All right, so that's a good one there to see what we're talking about. Paragraph 31. Machen not only has his page numbers, but his paragraph numbers, and so we can use both of those. All right. So as you're looking there on page 24 at the declension of anthropos, which is man, let me go through those. Let me go through that declension and pronounce the forms for you. Anthropos, anthropou, anthropo, anthropon, anthrope. That's the singular. Now the plural, both the nominative and the vocative. Anthropoi, anthropon, anthropois, anthropous. And now, is everyone... Now, Gracie, if you want to, why don't you just follow along? You know, okay, whatever. I it's very important for you to be able to see this. All right, so now, any noun is going to have gender. And the thing about gender is that you're going to have to match it. Like if you use the article, if you use the adjective. So like the good man. Well, man is masculine. Good is going to have to be masculine. The is going to have to be masculine. See, the good man. It's all going to have to be the same gender. If you're talking about men, you can't say, now in English we could say the good man, the good men. It doesn't make any difference in the and the good. Same. You don't, there's no distinction between singular and plural in the and good. And isn't it funny how we can use the definite article for the men? You see that, while that's kind of funny, you think about the as one, but no, the is not necessarily one, it's definite. It's definite. It is not necessarily singular or plural, it is definite. So, but in Greek, if you were going to say the men, you would have to use a plural the. See? So the article in Greek has number, gender, and case. Just like the noun has number, gender, and case, or gender, number, and case, either way you want to say it. The adjective, same thing. See, and they have to match. So this is very important. Okay, at the bottom of page 25, let's look at that declension because there's a little peculiarity that you need to note here. This is the word huios, which is son. We have huios, huiu, huio, huion, huie, singular. Now then the plural. Huioi, huion, huiois, huius. Now the thing that's unusual about this is that it is a noun and the accent is on the ultima in the nominative singular. So as you're going down through that, you see huios has an acute. Then you have huiu, huio, both have circumflex. And then huion and huie, both have the acute again. Do you observe what I'm saying? I want to be sure you see what I'm saying. Trevor, do you all see that? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, notice in the plural, you have huioi, which has the acute. Huion, huiois, and huius. Now, study that word for a moment. The general rules of accent would permit what kind of an accent on the final syllable. What all kinds of accents would be permitted on the final syllable?
Circumflex, like, right, or the acute.
Either one of the three. However, to use a circumflex, what kind of a vowel or diphthong are we going to have?
Long.
A long one. That's right. So if you looked at huios, could we have a circumflex there over the ultima? No, because it's short. We have U and O have a circumflex. Because, okay, that's long. That's okay. That's consistent. Then the accusative and the vocative, on and e, we on and we e. Could you have a circumflex over we on in the acute? No, it's short. What about we e? No. All right, now you're going to see what I'm getting at here in just a moment. Going over to the plural column, nominative and the vocative, huioi. Could we have a circumflex over the oi? No, because it's short, since oi is final. Remember that oi and I, if they're final, they're short.
By the way, does he ever point that out in this book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just not up front.
Yeah, it's pretty soon in here. I don't remember exactly where it is, but he deals with that. Alright, now then, notice in the genitive, on and ois. So you would say, okay, he's just got acute accents here because, they're all short. No, it's not quite that simple. Not quite that reason, because look at the accusative. Huius. What does he have over the us? Acute. Could have a circumflex. So, what you've got here is this rule, and I think it's on the next page that it tells the rule. In the second declension, When the ultum is accented at all, it has the circumflex and the genitive and dative of both numbers. Elsewhere, the acute.
Meaning the plural accusative.
All right. Yes, exactly. And the reason why he says the elsewhere really refers only to the accusative plural. And the reason that is because all the others are short. All the other endings are short. In other words, you take os, on, e, oi, they're all short. They can't have a circumflex anyhow. Did you all see that?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? To understand? Isn't that great? All right. Now then, let's look at, on page 26, paragraph 41. I want to pronounce that one for you also. This is the word for gift. We have Doron, Doru, Doro, Doron, Dora, Doron, Dorois, Dora. All right, now, as you look at that word, we have a circumflex over the penult in the nominative and genitive singular. I mean, the nominative and vocative singular. Observe that. Doron. Now, why is that?
Because the ultima is short.
The ultima is short. A long penult, if accented at all, must have the circumflex. Now, in the next two, we have a long ultima, and the general rules require that a penult be, I mean, that an acute be on the penult of both genitive and dative there, because they both have a long ultima. Come back to Doron. See, you're back to the nominative situation. The nominative and the accusative are the same form here, so the accenting would be the same as well. All right, now tell me about this. Look in the nominative vocative plural. In the nominative vocative plural, is that alpha long or short?
Short.
It is short, because if it were long, what would have to be over the do part?
Acute.
The acute. Now you're getting on to it. That's very, very good. All right, now the order of words, basically, I think that you could say often it is exactly the same as English, but it can also vary almost any way in the world. And the endings are what will let you know how the word is used in the sentence. And we will see that in the exercises. Okay, it's time for us to look at the exercises now. So let's try that out. All right. I'd like for you to do some of this. So look at your book there, and if you worked them, or if you just studied them. All right, I'd like for us to work those out. Now, here's what you need to do. When you look at it, you need to notice what the basic vocabulary word is. And so we have something about a brother, we have something about seeing, and we have something about a man. And then the next thing you've got to do is to determine who's doing the seeing, and what is he seeing. You do that by the endings. Okay, so then you put it all together. So you have avaphos. Now what ending is os?
Nominative.
So this is going to act as the
subject.
And then you have blepe. Now what ending is that?
Third person singular.
Third person singular. And then anthropon is what ending? Accusative. So what's this sentence? Brad, how would you translate this sentence?
A brother sees a person.
That's right, or a man. A brother sees a man.
A legitimate?
A person would be okay.
Okay.
It really is, because this is a human generic. Mm-hmm. So person would be alright. It really would. Alright, number two. Alright, now look at that. David, what kind of an ending is that on doulos?
Nominative singular.
All right, nominative singular followed by graphe, which is a third person singular verb, right? See that? Grapho, graphes, graphe. And then what about logos? What kind of an ending is that on logos? Anybody? What kind of an ending is that?
Accusative plural.
So we've got the servant doing the action and the term for word receiving the action. So how would you translate that, David?
A servant writes words.
That's exactly right. Excellent. Okay, Pop, let's see what you can do with it. Number three. What kind of an ending is that on apostoloi?
Yeah, that's nominative plural.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to act as the subject, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then the next word, what is it?
Didaskosin is they are teaching, mm-hmm, or plural,
mm-hmm,
third person plural.
Mm-hmm.
And then anthropon is the accusative singular. So I would translate it, apostles are teaching a man.
That's exactly. Very good, very good.
So that, okay, that man, that man or men?
It's a man. A man.
Okay.
It's teaching a man. No, it's not plural. Okay. So, apostoloi didaskusen anthropon. Apostles are teaching a man. All right, sentence four. Apostoloi luusi dulus. Lee, how about doing that one?
Apostoloi, that's the plural nominative. And luusi is the third person plural. A verb ending, and doulos is the oisus. It's the
accusative
plural.
Right.
And you know that's how I have to do that every time. It's just there.
Yeah,
so
yeah, sure.
You have apostles are loosing servants.
Okay. And the thing is, after you do this enough, then you get to where you can just do it without having to just think your way through that. You can just translate it, you know. So, all right, let me see. We're ready for five, correct? All right, everyone just look real carefully now at this. I'm going to read it and translate it to save us some time. Doulos lambane dora. A servant is taking gifts. Number six, lambanusin uioi oikus. Now here he throws us a little curve to revert to change or alter the normal word order. So what we do there is notice that we've got a taking or receiving. We notice that huioi is nominative, so we are going to, in English, we will say sons are receiving houses or sons are taking houses. All right, number seven. Now this one is more complex because we have a double direct object which starts the sentence. Doulos kai oikos lambanosin autophoi. Now you would tend to say slaves and houses are taking brothers, but no, you couldn't do that because the autophoi is the nominative. Okay? So we would have to say, even though the subject here is the last word in the sentence, the endings of the words let us know that brothers are receiving servants and houses. Okay? Number eight. Now this one is showing that you don't have to have a subject expressed at all. It is implicit in the verb ending. So we are seeing temples and apostles. Number nine, ye see slaves and brothers. Number ten, thou writest a word to an apostle. Now this is the first instance where you're using a case like this, the dative case in the sense of to. So he's just beginning. Do you see how he's just venturing out, showing us a little more? So thou writest a word to an apostle. Number 11, didaske anthropon. He is teaching a man. Number 12, Autophos lege logon apostolo. A brother is saying a word to an apostle. Brad, did you see that?
After you said it.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I understand that. A brother is saying a word to an apostle. I will slow it down just a little bit. 13. Autophos apostolon genoske nomen. A brother of apostles knows a law. Now you see the way you have to do this. Now he'll in the English to Greek, he'll be giving us a chance to do this.
Say that again, Bob.
All right, the possessive.
Translate the sentence again.
Okay, I will. All right, a brother of apostles. Now it could be, you could say apostles brother. That's not good English, but I mean we don't have articles yet. When we get in the article, we make it sound like better English. But it's a brother of apostles is knowing law or knows law. Admittedly, some of the sentences sound better than others, but I mean, he's doing the best he can with what he's got here. All right. So you see, you have the nominative, autophos, modified by apostolon, which is in the genitive. So it means of an apostle, which is the way we would do in English. We would put an apostrophe on apostles, and it's an apostle's brother. So do you see that, Jeff?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So a brother of apostles knows a law. Number 14, douloi gynoskousi nomen kai lambanousi dora. Now here we have two verbs here. Servants or slaves know a law and are receiving gifts.
Got one right finally.
Okay. Number 15, gynoskousin anthropoi thanaton. So our subject is second in the sentence. Anthropoi is nominative, so it would be men know death. Men know death. Number 16, lambanamen dora kai ekamen autophus. Lambanamen dora kai ekamen autophus. So this is we receive gifts and we have brothers or brethren. All right, Lee, you want to just translate 17?
Apostolos kai doulois legamen lagus thanatu.
Okay, that's all right.
Well, I've not gotten very many of them right, but I'll try number 17.
Okay.
We say words of death to apostles and servants?
That's right. We say words of death to apostles and servants. Very good. Very good. All right. Andrew, do you feel up to doing one, or do you want to just sit it out?
Yeah.
Okay. how about my two cameramen and sound men and everything? You want
to take care of the camera?
Okay, they're watching the camera and everything. We really prize our technical crew and everything, even if they don't know everything. All right, Brad. Try 18. First, just try to read the Greek.
Try. Okay. I can read the Greek.
Okay.
That's autophoi kai douloi gynoskousin kai blepousin.
Hiera
kai duda.
Dora. Mm-hmm. All right. So what have we got here?
Yeah, there's some sight going on, and there's some gifts, and there's some sign. Yeah,
all right, we've got brothers and servants, don't we? In the nominative plural. Okay. So brothers and servants are knowing and seeing temples and gifts.
Or if you said know and see, knowing and
yeah,
have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So once again, brothers and servants know and see temples and gifts.
I'll try 19.
All right, number 19. Okay.
All right, so, graphe apostolos naman kai lege logus huias dulu. And did I mess up?
Just a little bit. Instead of huias, it's huias.
Huias, okay. So, okay. Huias and... I translated that an apostle is writing a law and saying words to sons of a servant.
That's right. That's very good. Well, that's right. Very good. Very good.
Say that last part.
Wow. Say it one more time.
Well, I didn't do that on the fly. Let's be clear.
Yeah, go ahead.
An apostle is writing a law and saying words to sons of a servant.
Yeah, that's very good. That's exactly right. All right, number 20. All right, David, why don't you try again? Try reading it. See how you do in reading. You know, we need to keep pushing a little bit, so we'll see how you do here.
Huioi apostolon legusi
Logos.
Logos. Kai. Lucy.
Doulos. Doulos. Okay, and you're accenting. Now notice your accenting here. We oi, apostolon, legusi, lagus, kai luusi, doulos. But that's good. You're doing good. Now then, see if you can translate. What does huios mean? What does that term mean?
Sons.
And this is plural here, so yeah, sons. Which sons of these? See, you have followed by the genitive plural of apostle. Sons of apostles are saying what?
Words.
Lagus, Kai, and Lucy.
Loosing servants.
Mm-hmm. And they are loosing servants. All right. Good. Very good. I'm very impressed. That's good. All of you. You're doing well. That was the, shall we say, the fun part. Except, in a way, this is the fun part to me. All right, so it's, you know, I think that, you know, you'd say, can we skip reading the English, reading it out? Well, you will find that, especially in the early stages, it'll help you read it out because it kind of gets the word fixed in your mind. You know, the sentence kind of helps the words to sort out. And you're looking at the order because, you see, in Greek, you have to decide. Now, what order am I going to do this in? Well, to start with, do it the easy way. All right, so as you start off there, now the thing I do is I can just pretty well do it on the fly, but I'm remembering that the way I do is as I'm looking at it, I'm first aware of the three primary elements that I've got in that first sentence. Elements of meaning. So, Brad, what are the three elements of meaning?
The servant is mm-hmm. the subject, right is the verb, and law is the direct object.
All right, see? So you've got a servant idea, you've got a writing idea, you've got a law idea. Now we've got to put that together. Well, laws don't usually write. So a servant is writing a law. Now then, all we have to do is say, what's the word for servant? Doulos. What's the word for right? Grapho. Okay. The word for law is nomos. Now we've got to say, now the case endings. So, doulos, graphe, nomen. Doulos, graphe, nomen. All right, sentence two. Who wants to take that one? Were you able to work them out? If you worked them out, Greg, try to tell us how you translated that.
Okay, I translated that. A son sees words as huios, blephe, lagus.
That's right. Huios, blephe, lagus. Okay, number three. Who can do that one? All right, go ahead, Jeff.
Number three is brothers are loosing servants. I translated it autofoi, lucy, dulu.
Do what?
Dulu.
Dulus.
Dulus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so autofoi. Lucy Doulos. And this would technically be one of those places that the Lucy would have a new on the end, but I'm not trying to get you to do that, but I'm just pointing out. So it would be Autofoi Lucin Doulos. And I have found in most cases, if you'll just stick it where it sounds good, that's pretty well what they did. All right, number four, sons take gifts. Let's see how we're doing here. All right, we're doing fine. All right, number four, sons take gifts. So, David, can you do that? All right.
We oi. Lambanusin.
Lambanusin.
Dora.
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 Okay. So, huioi, lambanos, and dora. Number five, an apostle sees a servant and a gift. So we would have apostolos, blepe, doulon, kai doron. Let's do that one again. while you're looking carefully at your book. Apostolos, blepe, doulon, kai, doron. Right? Number six. Now, one of the things you have to remember in English is that he may start us out with a direct object sometime in a sentence, just to throw us a curve. And see, in English, you're not going to recognize that as quickly. You won't recognize that near as quickly in English as you will in Greek once you become acquainted with Greek. So, in this sentence, servants and sons are saying, so this is going to be the subject, right? Douloi, kai, huioi, legacy, lagus, autopho. All right, one more time. Douloi, kai, huioi, legacy, lagan. That's lagan, singular. Lagan, not lagus, lagan. And then autopho. So I'm going to do that one more time. Number six. Servants and sons are saying a word to a brother. So douloi, kai, huioi, legacy, lagan, autopho. Number seven, blepamen dora kai doulos. Blepamen dora kai doulos. Number eight is a rather complex sentence. Men see words and gifts of a brother and houses of apostles and sons. Tell you what to do. Pick out the direct objects. Sentence 8. Mm-hmm. What are the direct objects?
Words and gifts.
Words, gifts.
Houses.
Houses. Okay. So, men, this would be anthropoi here.
Sons.
Hmm?
The English is not clear. The English would laugh above.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, you're right. Anthropoi, blepusi, lagus, kai, dora, alafu, kai, oikus, apostolon, and then depending on whether we made son a double direct object of or separate, then we would, I think he wants us to make them parallel here. So we would have apostolon, kai, huion.
Okay, say that again one more time, the whole sentence.
Okay. Anthropoi, blepusi, lagus, kai, dora, alafu. Kai oikus apostolon kai huion. Okay? Then number nine, our bread. You want to try that one?
No. Can I ask a question about number eight again?
All right, now this number, huh?
Can I ask a question about eight again?
Yeah.
So how is the English unclear?
When you get to the end of the sentence and it says, and houses of apostles and sons, in English it is much clearer if you say houses of apostles and of sons, if you're meaning to distinguish. If you don't distinguish, then there is a presumption that the apostles and sons are both modified by the single of. Again, there are rules in Greek that make that even more certain in some instances. So in that case, you just have to look at context and let that try to guide you.
Right.
Nine? Okay, here we go. Nine?
Yeah, I translated it to Grothman. Lagus, kai, namus, adophois, legamen, lagon, thanatu, dulu. Did I mess it up?
The only thing was dulu.
Dulu. Did I miss servants? Is it servants?
It'd be the dative case, dulo.
Two-way servant, okay. Yeah, I used accusative accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But that's the only thing.
And do we also put the Greek semicolon?
He's wanting you to practice that.
But that's in the sentence,
yeah,
correct?
Yes, it is.
That would be the dot above
the line. The dot above the line. That's right. Yes, he's wanting you to practice that. So yes, the dot above the line serves for the semicolon and the colon. Now you could do this just fine by starting off lagus kai namus graphemen autophois. You know, you could do it like that. Or as Greg did, you could start off with, you could say, graphemen, lagus kai namus, autophois. Or, you could say, autophois, graphemen, lagus kai namus. See, that's the beauty about Greek. You can just swap that thing around almost any way you want to.
Question about pronouns.
Okay.
Do the Greeks have pronouns? Yes. Do they typically leave them out, or does it just...
They don't use their personal pronouns near as often as we do in English, because it is included in the verb.
Right.
So you can just pretty well assume that when a personal pronoun is used, it is for emphasis. That's just sort of a running presumption you can make. So when you have a personal pronoun like the ego, I, see, ego, blepo, that means I see. You don't see. See, there's a contrast or something like that. So, all right, so let's see. Where are we? Number 9, we're still working on that one. All right, so we have two clauses in this sentence. So the first clause is logos kai nomos graphemen autophois. The second one, we're following the same pattern of starting with the object. So we say logon thanatu legomen doulo. All right, a word of death. So logon thanatu, and then legomen, and then doulo, to a servant, they do. All right, number 10, a son is seeing temples and houses. So we have huios, blepe, hira, kai, oikos. One more time. Huios, blepe, hira, kai, oikos. Number 11. All right, Greg, try number 11.
Gnoskete, thanatou, thanaton.
That's right. And see, there's a good example, Brad. You didn't need the thee. I mean, the ye, you know, it's in the verb. So the only time you would really put ye would be if you want to put a big emphasis on ye, on what ye are doing as opposed to what they are doing, you know, or something like that. Ye know. So, yes. Say it one more time, Greg.
Gnoskete thanaton.
Okay. Number 12. Now, remember how we've already encountered this possessive idea in the Greek to English. Now, it's our turn to take the English possessive and turn it into Greek. So he shows us in the parenthesis how to do it. So number 12, thou takest. So this would be lambanes, lambanes. But then to say an apostle's gift, we have to turn it around to say a gift of an apostle. Well, see, they have no way to say an apostle's gift. You have to have an English type of construction with your apostrophe S. So, this is a thing that just takes some getting used to in your thinking, you know, getting away from apostrophe S's and stuff. And this genitive is a very common thing. And this genitive construction in Greek and in Hebrew is very common. And it's, in fact, the only way to show a possession. Just, it's the only way to do it. Thou takest an apostle's gift. So, lambanes, Doron apostolou. See how simple that is? So, lambanes, doron apostolou. Now the next one, Jeff, you want to try number 13? It has the same kind of possessive that you'll have to turn around.
Thou art writing a brother's word to a servant. Graphes?
Mm-hmm.
Dolon, Aofu, Dola. No.
Mm-hmm.
Graphes.
You have to do word of a brother. So graphes.
So graphes, Dolon.
Logon.
Logon. Oh, that's Logon. Word. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Logon, Aofu.
Mm-hmm. Aofu, and then your dative of servant.
Dolu.
Dulo.
Dulo.
Dulo. That's right. So, graphes, logon, autophu, dulo. All right, number 14. Luo, dulus, kai, lego, logus, huios, kai, autophois. Let me do that one more time. 14. Luo, dulus, kai, lego, Lagus, huios, kai, autophois. Okay? David, are you able to follow that along when I translate it?
I'm,
I'm getting some of it, but not all of it.
Okay. What I have found is that before I can do it myself, I can follow someone else doing it, and immediately after, you know, I can say, oh, yeah, I see now. Yeah, I see why I use that word. Well, that's good, though. You're learning when you do that, even that. So I think you're doing well. You know, we're not doing this Monday through Friday. And in most Greek classes, that's what you do, Monday through Friday, or at least 4 days a week, and kind of an immersion in it. Number 15. Okay, Brad, how about doing that one?
Vios blepe thanaton.
All right. Three words. Simple, right? Vios blepe thanaton. All right, 16, Greg.
Okay. I probably made a mistake here because of the genitive, but I'll try it here.
Okay.
Gnoskosi nomos, Gnoskosi nomus, kai didaskosi doulois apostolou. And I think the doulois is what I missed.
It should be doulous.
Yeah, I wanted to make my genitive agree both in the direct object, and I should put it in the accusative. So that's why I said I think I've done that.
All right, so 16 is Gnoskosi nomus kai didaskosi doulous apostolou. Now, even in the English, see, he could have said, they know laws and teach an apostle's servants. See, the English could have read that way. So in English, even in English, you sometimes see us doing it with a genitive construction. Sometimes we show possession also that way. All right. So, now another thing that I want to encourage you to do is after some more study, go back and do those exercises again. There's no telling how many times I have done the declensions and how many times I've done the conjugations and how many times I've done the exercises and everything. And I get, after a while, then you just get to where... And where is the paper I did it on? Long ago, I quit using the paper. So I don't even know where it is. And so that's the thing about it. You won't need it. You won't need it. You will learn it. All right. Now, in this next lesson, I want to spend just a few minutes, the time we've got left, I want to introduce you to the first declension. And my thinking is this, that we won't get beyond this lesson, this 6 weeks. So I want to introduce you to it tonight, and then the next Thursday when we have our class, depending on what happens with me and Sandra, you know, we may have to skip a week and have the last one a week after. But anyway, that last lesson that we have, we will focus on this. So let me introduce you to it right now. The nouns that end with os are second declension nouns. In this, we have the first declension nouns, and there's a little bit of variation here. Most of them end with an alpha, but some of them end with ada, with the ada. And so you just have to learn. There are some wrinkles in the declension here. I think you would have to say there are more variations in the way that a first declension noun is declined than you have in the second. And remember, he said that he was introducing the second because it's the simple one. Well, it is. It is simple. In this one, you got several things that complicated a little bit. All right, let's look at the first let me name the words off here. And you will also notice that most of these are feminine, whereas in the second declension, most of them are masculine. Do you see that? Now, you may not see it yet because you haven't learned the article. Ha is masculine. Hey is feminine. So you will see aletheia, hey. Now that article, this is typical, this is standard to indicate to you the gender. And the reason why that's necessary is sometimes you can't tell the gender merely by the form of the word. To illustrate that, let me let you turn over 33. Turn over page 33 right quick and you'll see why this is. Page 33, look at the vocabulary. Look down at the vocabulary. Agathos, alos, dikaios, egeiro. Eremos. See, eremos, you see it has an os ending on it, so what would you think that would be? Masculine. It's not. It's a tricky little varmint. And so to let us know what gender it is, what do we have following it?
Hey.
See, we have hey. So that's the reason why you want to get trained to see that article. That article is going to tell you without any doubt, this is the gender. The ending will not necessarily tell you what the gender is. Most of the time it will. But you need, when you're studying vocabulary and so on, note carefully the article. The article will be your what's the word I'm looking for here? Unvarying. How about that? The unvarying, reliable indicator about what the gender is. All right, now I'm going to read the words on page 29, the vocabulary. Aletheia, basileia, graphe, dogza, eirene, ecclesia, entele, zoe, emera, cardia, parabale, one, suke, hora. And so that's the pronunciation of them. Be careful and don't say aletheia. No, the nominative singular is aletheia. Now, as you decline it, you'll kind of go back and forth. You'll kind of rock back and forth. So I've named them all. Let's look at the declension of hora, and I'm going to ask you something about this. The nominative and the vocative, hora. Now, what I want to ask you is the alpha. Is the alpha long or short?
It is long.
If the ultim is long,
the acute.
So that tells us that this is long. Okay. As you look down through that, hora, horas, hora, horan, horai. What about that one? The ultima is short. That's why you have circumflex. You see that? If the ultima is short, a long penult, if accented at all, must have circumflex. So I'm just wanting you to see how it does follow those rules. And in the genitive plural, notice that, horon. In the first declension, no matter where the accent is otherwise, there's going to be a circumflex over the ultima in the genitive plural. That's just without variation. In the first declension, in the genitive plural, you're going to have a circumflex over the ultima no matter where the accent is in the word in the nominative singular. But I want you to see that the general rules are reflected in this word. All right, now then turn to the next page.
Can I ask a question? And
yes.
This may not be on the subject line that you want us to go.
Okay.
But this is just an observation. Cardia.
Mm-hmm.
From that we get our English word cardiac.
Right.
That seems to be the origin of that line of English word, correct?
Yes.
And then parable, our word parable is a transliterated word from the Greek. Is that correct?
Right. Parabole. And you take, there's a family of words like basileia, a kingdom, and basileus, a king. And of course, graphe, we get graph and all the words that are related to graph. Doxa, doxology. Eirene, we have the word irenic. Irenic, sometimes being used as an adjective, sometimes as a noun, meaning a speech to bring about peace or to encourage peace. And so eirene, peace, having to do with peace. Ecclesia, we recognize that one. Zoe, we get zoology from that one. Cardia, cardiac, cardiology. Parabole, parable. Phone, we get phonograph and such words as that from voice. Suke, psychology, we get that from suke. All right, so look on page 30 now, paragraph 53. I want to show you something else here. Now remember what we noted about hora. That alpha in hora was long, wasn't it? All right, look at the alpha in aletheia and tell me, is that alpha in the nominative, the alpha on the end, is that long or short?
Got to be short.
Got to be short. So whereas in hora it was long, here it is short. If it is long in the nominative singular, it will be long in the accusative singular. If it's short, you know, it will be consistent. It will be consistent. But the accusative plural, the alpha down there on the os, aletheos, it is long always. But it's in the nominative singular and the accusative singular, it will always match. But it may be either short or long. But if it is long in the nominative singular, it'll be long in the accusative. You see? Okay? I'm wanting you to see this. Now, the endings here are a, os, a, on. I, on, ice, os. Whereas in the second declension, it's os, u, o, on, e, oi, on, ois, us. And you need to just work on it. You know, work on it until you can do that. Okay. Now then, here's another thing. In, all right, about how long do I have now?
4 minutes.
Okay, great. All right. Paragraph 54, page 31, dogza, dogzase, dogze, dogzen. Now, why did they have to do that to us? All right, look at the little explanation. The alpha in the nominative singular of first declension nouns is changed to eta in the genitive and dative singular, except after epsilon, iota, or rho. However, in my experience, you got an awful lot of epsilons, iotas, and rhos, because it's not all that terribly common to have that situation. But if you have any letter other than epsilon, iota, or rho, then in the genitive and dative singular, you're going to change it to an eta, just like he does here with dogza. Dogza, dogzase, dogze, dogzon. Dogzai, dogzon. See that? The genitive plural, dogzon. Dogzais, dogzos. And then you got the situation with graphe, which is, it starts out with an eta. You stick with an eta through the singular. Now the plural is the same in all the nouns of the first declension. Do you see that? Take a moment, notice that. I, on, ice, os. That's the way it is in all plural, first declension nouns. So you get a break there. Okay. But when it is the eta, then it's graphe, graphes, graphe, graphane. So, pretty simple there. Now remember, we're going to work on this again. And I know that we're sort of shoveling snow on you.
Sipping water,
but we're going to do it again. Huh?
Sipping water from a fire hydrant.
Yeah. Yeah, sipping water from a fire hydrant. Alright, now then, I'm going to just work just a moment or two on the exercises. Alright, I'm going to do it, not you. I want you to follow with me though. Okay, so like sentence one, suke blepe zoane. Now we've got two first declension nouns thrown in here, the verb we're familiar with. Suke, a soul blepe sees zoane, life. A soul sees life. Basileia genoske aletheon. Basileia, a kingdom, genoske knows, aletheon, truth. Sentence three, anthropos graphe entolos kai namus. A man is writing commandments and laws. Okay? Now let's look at the English just for a moment. All right, we start off here. Basileia lambane dogson. Dogson. Sentence two, ecclesiae legacy parabolos cardiais anthropon. So it's the same process you've been learning. But that's what it will take. So listen, what I'd like you to do is just continue reading and drilling on the verbs, more attention on the second declension nouns, and perhaps the most then on this new stuff. And try to do your very best. Try doing exercises. If you can't do all the exercises up there, if they prove a little too difficult for you, then that's okay. We'll work them in class. And that'll be our last class when we do that. And then we're going to wait a while, and it's going to be up to you to stay fresh. But I want to not to wait too long. If we wait too long, we'll lose everything. So then after a time, let's set ourselves another 6-week course, and we will set ourselves an objective, and we will try to accomplish that. But I think you've made a lot of progress. So I'm very pleased with that. Okay, so like I said, depends on what happens in Florida. But if we're here, then we'll have a class Thursday. If we're not here next Thursday, probably be the next. Probably won't have to skip more than that. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
You can watch us tomorrow.
What, did you have any expectation about what you thought our most common or repetitive mistake would have been in these exercises?
It'd be the cases.
Yes.
It'd be the cases. You didn't really make many mistakes at all on the verb endings. But the cases would be, that's what I figured it would probably be. But, I mean, you still did very, very well.
Well, I'm going to make an admission. I thought, of the two exercises, I thought less of the second one. Because I don't plan on writing any Greek.
Mm-hmm.
I want to translate what's mm-hmm. already written.
Mm-hmm.
But I made more mistakes on the first one than I did on the second one. Yeah. But I thought less of.
Yeah.
Go figure.
And it is a fact, though, that learning it thoroughly so that you can read it and translate, you will learn it more thoroughly in translating that English into Greek. So even though that's harder, that's when you're going to really be getting down to the business of learning this. Because you almost have to force your mind into a Greek mode of thinking
mm-hmm.
to learn to read the Greek and translate it, you know? And there's no better way to do that than to take the English and put it into Greek. So we'll keep working on that and